access number 32383, Mr. Tom Griffiths, Reel 2. Now, so you went back to the battalion. Now, they're still at Whitstable, are they?
Yes, that's correct.
So what are you doing? What are you... when did you know you were going to... You know, the second front was opening?
We had an idea.
Was there any special training you did for it?
There was special training, yes.
Tell me about it.
We would... Every Monday... We would go in these trucks. We would go to a special, how should I put it? A special construction thing where you would climb up these nets. And I found it quite difficult. And I got to the top of this quite steep tower. It was quite steep. And when I got back down, a sergeant out of the Grenadier Guards said to me, you could have got up to that tower twice as quickly if you had the right training. I said, what is that? He said, when you start to climb up this rope, it squares, put your hand inside, not outside as you were. Put it on the inside and your arm locks. You do the same thing the other side, lock. And it was like magic. I could fly up and down those pillars, or whatever you call them. Scaffolding they were, you see.
Now, did you know what that training was for, or why you had to practice?
Yes. It in case you were on the side of a ship and you had to get down.
Any other special training for getting ready for...
No, that was about it. Keeping your weapons clean and tidy and knowing where your kit was.
Were you just a rifleman or did you have a special job?
No.
You weren't on the Bren gun?
No.
Okay, so what happens next then? You're moving towards D-Day, but...
That's right, yes.
Anything happening?
Well, everybody was on the move. We knew that there was something up and we all had to leave this lovely little billet for the last time. Whitstable. And that was it. We got to Haywards Heath was the next stop. And we were allowed to go out there with an officer and for a little walk and things like that. And the next thing we knew, we were on the quayside at New Haven. Because there'd been a storm in the channel then, and there was a little bit of disruption. So we landed about... D-15 or D-20? D-20.
So that's 20 days after D-Day. So where were you when you heard the news of D-Day?
In Whitstable. Not moved. And we heard it, that they'd gone over and everything was okay.
And what did you think when you heard of that?
Well, we thought, I don't know about everything okay. I expect there'd been a few killed on the beaches, which happened to be true.
So tell me about the voyage. What did you go across on?
We went over on a ship called the Canterbury.
And what was she like?
Very good. Very good. Find a place to put your gear and your kit, and then you got into this ship, and you were right.
And what type of a ship was she? Don't know that one.
It had been a cross-channel steamer. A RMS Canterbury.
And
painted grey, and it looked quite imposing. You know, I thought it was a warship, but it wasn't.
And what sort of, was the sea rough? Were you seasick at all?
No, had a lovely, lovely crossing.
And this was round about the 26th of June?
I would think so.
So no problem in the crossing. Where did you land?
Landed at a place, Arromanches, just outside.
Was that on the Mulberry Harbour?
That's right, Versumer.
And what were your first impressions when you got it? What could you see? I mean, you must have been excited.
Well, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting. See the sand and the sea and the beach. Knocked out, you could, a fair amount of knocked out craft, which was still lying around in the water, but... Genuinely speaking, It was a very, very good landing. Dry.
So what? Where did you do then? You landed at Aramark. Where did
you go? That's it. And the first day we were there, we took the road, a little small route, towards Bayeux. Right? Okay. Go to Bayeux. And from then on, I got a map there. We went to places like Elon, right through Normandy. Right through Normandy. And a lot of concentration around Hill 112.
Now, what was the situation at Hill 112?
Very, very dicey. 1 minute it was in German hands, the next minute it was British hands, and so on. Very, very strenuous, stressful. Very stressful. You couldn't sleep hardly.
And where exactly was Hill 112? Do you know to tell them? They can look it up, but I mean...
Yes, just outside, overlooking Caen.
And so did you move into the line? What did you actually do when you got to Hill 112? That's where you were going.
Dig in, straight away. Get an underground.
Now tell me how you dug in. How would you dig in? Was it slit trenches you dug, or proper trenches?
No, this was trenches that we dug. That we were in this spot, and they'd say, dig, and you dig. And that would be it. And that was Hill 112.
And so how big, how deep?
6 foot. That's just to get two men in.
So there were little two-man trenches, were there?
That's it. There were other trenches there, you see, but they had been occupied, or other people had moved into them. Very, very distressful. Oh, it was an awful time. Hill 112 was a devil. Because Chapman, the VC, we used to go back to Normandy, you see. And Chapman would say, "Now you can leave me now, if you wouldn't mind, Tom, say for about 2 hours. And you come to this spot, there was a little cross there, little crucifix. You come back to this spot, and I'll be ready, but I want to go and think about it." And that's what he did. He thought about Hill 112. That was his obsession. For the whole of the Normandy campaign, when he won the VC, he wanted to get back to Hill 112. It's amazing, isn't it?
Why?
I don't know. He wanted to peace of mind.
And this is, which VC was this? What was his name, just to fill in?
Ted Edward Chapman. VC. And he won it a fortnight before the end of the war.
Now tell me a bit about Edward Chapman. What was he like? Because you knew him quite well. You knew him here as well.
He was a lovely, delightful little gentleman. He wouldn't say boo to a goose, you know, but he had something about him that... What happened was, one of the Bren gunners, he's often come to see me.
So how did he, tell us the story, because I don't know, did he won his VC at Hill 112, yes. Did he?
So what happened was that one of his Bren gunners had been shot in the thigh.
At Hill 112?
Yep. This is the when he won the VC now. You understand? Peter, that's when he won the VC.
So what did he do?
Well, Chapman didn't know what to do, but he decided to load himself with as much ammunition he could carry the Bren gun, and he said, "You cover me." And forward he went. And apparently, I couldn't get it. But it was everything, everywhere. Terrible. And he still went on. And he destroyed a lot of the enemy, probably about 20 or 30 men. And then he came back and he would not move until the battalion was reestablished. And he was the man who won the... He was the man.
And did you see any of this, or did you hear about it? He was a corporal.
Yes.
Did you hear about it?
He was wounded. He was in the second Mons. And he got wounded at a place called Falaise, nearby Leffard. Then he went back to the UK, and they kept him. And they said, the third month, no, he said the second month. The third month you're going back to. And they sent him back to the third month, not the second month, which was a part of the 11th Armor Division. Hot stuff, very, very hot. So that was the reason he won the VC for the 11th Armor Division.
Now, so what do you remember? What happened to you at Hill 112?
Hill 112, terrible, absolutely terrible. It was so much stress there, so much stress that you could get into your body. You understand what I mean? You wouldn't know whether to. All right, Suzanne, you want another coffee?
So tell me a bit more about what happened to you at Hill. So can you describe what happened to you at
Hill 112?
I understand about the stress and the rest of it.
It was a question of you were lucky, survival. Survival. If one bomb had been a little bit nearer, that would have been it. But it was a very, very stressful time. You couldn't sleep.
But what was happening?
The Germans were there all the time, you see.
So what sort of fire were you under?
Oh, terrible. Terrible mortar fire. Everything that they could throw at you. And of course, we were lucky, mind, because we never took the hill. The hill was taken by the Wiltshires and the Devonshires. And it was a terrible, terrible fight. Monty wanted the hill at all costs. Rommel said, you dare not leave that hill. That's ours. And so the fight went on.
So what were you just dug in and under fire?
Dug in and under fire, you've got it.
Did you make any attacks?
You got it. No. Yes, one attack. One attack.
And what do you remember of that? Tell us the old story. Were you in it?
It was a whole battalion attack towards the summit of the hill. A lot of casualties, but they did not take the hill at that particular time. Nope. They took it about a week later.
And what happened to you during that attack? What do you remember of it?
A 2-inch mortar, bump. All I could fire. 2-inch mortar. Down the barrel and away we go.
So you were on a 2-inch mortar in that fight?
Eh?
You were on a 2-inch mortar?
A 2-inch mortar, yes. Not a 3-inch, a 2-inch. And it was a very useful weapon.
Were you always on that, or just
no, just happened to be there at the time.
And what was it like to fire? Was it accurate?
Very good. Very good. Just pop the bomb down the barrel and one little twist and up it to go.
So would you go forward with them when they attacked?
Yes, you would.
So what did you do? Well, I can't get a picture of what happened and how the attack broke down.
Stayed put. Gave it all the fire that we could. Battalion fire. Anything. And the Manchesters were there with the machine guns, you see, thick as machine guns. But it was an all-out attack, and it must have played hell with the Germans, because about a week later, on a Saturday afternoon, they said, "The hill is clear, you can go up," and we just walked up, and what we found on the other side was nobody's business. Terrible, terrible.
In what way?
Casualties. Dead Germans. They were too. They couldn't even pick their dead up. They had to leave. They left.
Now, so did you said the battalion attack failed though? So what happened during it? I mean, what happened to you during that attack?
What happened to me? Well, we were just. It was a battalion fire. It was a.
So you didn't attack. You didn't come out of the.
No attack. No.
Right, I've got you. So it was just a concentrated barrage of fire.
You got it.
And what about German shell fire and mortar fire? What was it like?
Very good. It was deadly accurate, and they were just dropping them wherever they wanted to.
Was it mainly mortar fire or shell fire they were using?
Mortar fire and shell fire.
And what was it like?
Oh. Horrendous. horrendous. Dave Edwards will tell you about your one too. As a matter of fact, he'll tell you, but he got wounded there. And he got sent back to England then. And he was there for about, 2 months, and then he came back to the battalion. Yeah. He'll tell you.
So, anything else about Hill 112? I understand it, you know, it was a horrible time for you.
Monty wanted it, and Rommel wanted it. That was the question. Monty and Rommel. And, of course, when it was first started off, the Dorsets, the Wilshires, they are terrible, terrible casualties. Terrible, terrible what those boys went through. And then we took over. We took over. But it was a terrible time, Ted Chapman. Terrible. He'll tell you, Ted Chapman, he was obsessed with Hill 112.
What had happened to him there?
Then he got wounded at the place at Fallers. Ted Chapman did.
But that's not Hill 112, is it?
No, no.
So why was he obsessed with Hill 112?
I don't know. Something I don't know what it was, but everyone will tell you. They're talking about Normandy, they would talk to Ted Chapman. He was obsessed with Hill 112. And of course he had a couple of nasty escape since then, you see.
Now, what sort of food were you eating? Can you tell us? I mean, you know.
Oh, anything. But I always remember, a nice cup of tea, and you'd have it in the mess, and it'd be lukewarm. But by gosh, it went down, Peter. It went down like nectar. This was on Hill 112. It was not warm, it was just lukewarm. It would go down and you have a cigarette, poof, and you say, right, you try it now. Marvellous.
So what did you eat? I mean, what was it, compo rations?
Any compo, yes.
Can you describe, because people don't know what that is now. Can you explain to them what it was?
Yes, compo ration, well, anything that they had there, you could get a little bit of tin bacon, We had the first bread that we ever had. We had in the place that I'm talking about, Mondonville. So you would get a crust of bread, a little bit of butter on it, a chunk of cheese, something that would keep you going. You see, so that was the secret, just keeping yourself going. And this lovely tea, that was great.
And what about the latrines? What were they like? What did you do for it? I
mean, you'd have to, you'd get on with it. Dig a hole and do your best, and that would be it.
So they didn't build a proper
latrine? No. I tell you what upset me. There were lots of mounds of earth. And somebody said to me, that's burial grounds, that is. And they were just covered over with earth. They could not bury the bodies. British bodies.
So they weren't properly buried. They were just covered over more than
Yeah.
So what happened after Hill 112 then for you?
Hill 112? Well, that was marvellous because I got a map there somewhere. We went to lots of different places, odd places, watching the Germans here, there. And then on the 14th of August, right, 1944, we joined the Canadian Army. And, it was a terrible time. And they attacked a farm at a place called, Haute Mondonville. Haute. H-A-U-T-E.
Sorry, H.
A-U-T-E. I think it is oat. Yes, it is high. It must have been Montrenville, something like that. And then they had this attack on the 14th of August, 1944.
Now, what happened there? What were they attacking?
A farm, which was infested with Germans. In a very vulnerable position. It was marvelous. And we lost a lot of men there, you see. A lot of men, all in open fight. It was terrible. And then...
So what were you doing in that attack?
I was in the attack, and I survived it.
What do you remember of it?
Oh.
I know it's difficult to remember things like that.
Terrible. It was absolutely terrible. You could see your friends. Oh, it was really shocking. And the same thing happened on the Tuesday, the 15th of August, when C Company, they caught it. They lost a lot of men. The same, it's so bewildering, isn't it? The same tactic. Go forward.
Attacking the same farm.
Oh, now, that was what that... No, a different farm. That was where Chapman got his leg wound in the ankle.
So it's in the Falaise area.
That's right. The 15th of August. Only about 5 miles at a place called Leffard. L-E-F-F-A-R-D. Leffard. And that's where Chapman caught his ankle. He got sent back to the UK. Then he could return on the third month. I'm sorry I've made it very complicated for you.
No, you're doing great. So what happened next then, after that, those attacks on the 14th and 15th of August?
That was it. The enemy had... They closed the gap. The Canadians actually closed the gap. And that was the end of the war in Normandy.
Germans retreated.
The Germans retreated. You got it.
Now, what about this village? You have a story about a village that you have... I mean, what happened at that village?
Montrenville. You get Dave on that. It was the first village that we fought at after we landed. We got to Montrenville. Okay?
And so it's before Hill 112?
No. Yes, before Hill 112. Exactly.
So how do you spell Montrenville?
That's exactly before it. Before Hill 112.
So how do you spell Montrenville, just for them?
Mondraiville. Mondraiville.
And what happened there? Because we missed that out. So tell us what happened there.
Well, it was a question of just digging in, the same thing. Digging in and watching for the enemy. You see, we were just...
So there's no actual fighting there.
No, but we were very, very alert. Very, very alert.
So, what about the advance from... after the closure of the Falaise Gap, there's the big advance. How did you make the advance?
You mean when the Germans had retreated? Well, that was it. They just retreated.
But how did you...
And I remember one day seeing this... They'd been out in the wet, you see, and you would see this, like a cloud, steam, like, my God, and it was full of these young Germans, and they were all steaming with the heat of the sun, and they were all Germans. They were everywhere, thousands of them.
Doing what?
Nothing. Their arms were down.
So they surrendered?
Surrendered. A lot of got away. But those men in the fields, they were just there.
So what happened? How do you make the advance? Because they retreat, you advance. How did you advance?
That's right. Just forward.
By lorry or on foot?
Yeah.
Which?
Straight on.
By lorry or on foot?
On foot. That was the longest march that we'd ever had. 22 miles, I think. The longest march that we ever had. Route march.
What was that march like?
Dreadful. Dreadful. There were men dropping out right, left, and center with thirst. Thirst.
So what next?
Well, that was it. That was the end of the war in Normandy, as far as we were concerned. The end of the Normandy campaign.
That's what I mean. What then, though?
We got to Antwerp. Antwerp was the main port of call.
Now and anything, we had a boat. Anything happened on the march to Antwerp?
Antwerp? 3 days there?
So nothing happened on the way to Antwerp?
Not really, no, not really.
And what was the situation in Antwerp?
The situation? I was amazed to see people eating pastries and drinking coffee in the main streets of Antwerp. And this was in 1944.
It'd be August. We could get there in about September.
That would have been about the 20th of August. Amazing. We were just eating, and so nothing was said. And we witnessed a few, you know, the head shaving, the women there.
Well, tell us about that. What could you see?
Women? The women being head shaven? Yes. We witnessed that. Terrible, terrible thing. For a young infantryman, but you could do nothing, you see. The French wanted it that way. They'd obviously been collaborating with the Germans, you see.
If they're in Antwerp, wouldn't they be Belgian?
Eh? Belgium, yes.
So, what next, then?
Well, that would be it. From there, we went on to Holland. Very cold and damp, few little attacks, and then we went to Germany.
So nothing happened in the Netherlands at all?
Few little attacks, but nothing really. Stoutenbosch, the battalion took Stoutenbosch, which was a steel town.
What? So how do you spell I don't know how to spell that.
S. Hertogenbosch. Stoutenbosch.
And what happened there? What do you remember of that attack?
Oh, forward, forward, forward. Few little casualties on the way. Not very pleasant. What infantry attack is pleasant?
Were you just a rifleman again now? You weren't on the 2-inch mortar.
Beg your pardon?
You were just a rifleman.
Yes.
And anything happened to you? Or
no. By the grace of God, I got away with it. Dave was wounded on Hill 112, and he came back to the battalion.
So the attack on Stoutenbosch, that's a Dutch town, is it?
That's a Dutch town. Very important.